drop you off. Nah, I'll drop you off.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch.
Oh, welcome to The Debrief with Dave O'Neill here. This is my podcast where I drove home with a comedian, and tonight I've got in my car the legend of comedy, Dave Tolk.
Oh, Dave. Why am I saying hello? We've been together all night.
Yeah, and in the back seat, Kappa.
Nick Kappa.
You can say hello, Kappa.
Yeah, I didn't even do a gig.
No, he did. He did a gig. And he smashed it too.
We've just done the Newborough Footy Club, which is Moe East, they tell me. So for people who don't know, Moe's had a bit of a stigma about it. You know, it's a power town. It's a coal town.
No, I said to them, when I got up and I said to them, what's Moe famous for? And they said, Jaden.
The murder of a child. Which is...
It meant something positive, but they had nothing after that.
After Jaden left.
We've been on the telly for Jaden.
Terrible event.
Yeah,
but
awful.
Also, it's a former coal mining town and they're closing down the mine, so... That's going to be tough times. But anyway, it was a great gig.
It was good fun.
Let's not dwell on the
sadness, yeah.
But although
we haven't left the town just yet.
We haven't. We're getting past the Newbra Leisure Centre.
Doesn't it seem out of proportion for the town, though, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there's a massive leisure centre.
Like, there's not that many people here.
See, that cap is quiet in the back, isn't he?
He is very quiet in the back.
Phone.
Yeah.
You're trying not to what? For those who don't know my comedy, I do a joke about a 69er.
Oh, yes, he does a joke about a 69er, that's
right. And the fans asked tonight whether they could take a photo of me doing a 69er.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
So they got this guy to stand on his... To do a handstand.
And I was surprised when...
And then I grabbed him by the trousers.
And I was really surprised when Nick started sucking his cock. I was like,
wow. Very disturbing.
Taking this real serious.
We
have to talk about the gig. So, Tolkien was on first. Because I was coming from another gig that got cancelled.
Yep.
With Kappa. Yep. And you had to do like half an hour.
I did, yes.
And you did a very good job, they told me.
Yes, thank you very much.
And then... me and Kappa came from this gig that got cancelled. I said, Kappa, you just jump up, do five minutes. And he got up and he absolutely smashed it.
He did, brilliant.
And I was worried.
Yeah, I know. I could see you sort of edging out the door. Just do more, Kappa, and we can fuck off.
Dave O'Neill's sick. He's going. Yeah.
Pretty sure he's here.
But so anyway, I went on and they were great. They were a really warm crowd. They were awesome. And,
mostly because I warmed them up amazingly.
Yeah, you did an amazing job.
That's the thing. That's the key to it all, I see.
It is. But then they wanted me to do an encore.
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
I've done encores before.
No, I'm not saying you haven't done an encore before.
but not a lot.
At a football club, it seems quite unusual.
Yeah, no, I haven't done many encores.
I've done a few football clubs and they never asked for an encore.
I think they asked for their money back. Yeah. Sort of early-ish in the night. Anyway, so I did an encore where I just tell an old joke. That's what I do.
Right, yeah.
So I just think, I can't be bothered getting into a routine again.
Not too much.
And then anyway, the president or the treasurer gets up and he goes, that was great, Dave, but I think we want to hear more from Kappa.
Yeah, good on you for having a crack, but listen, let's
bring the support act back out here.
He's got a joke about sucking cock. Do you want to hear it?
Kappa goes on and does his routine about giving a 69er to a soldier in the war.
And they
were just like, oh. I don't know about talking about soldiers and 69ers in the war.
They loved it. They loved it, mate.
They loved it.
They absolutely went mental.
There was a real dead spot in there where they're like, you're going to suck his dick.
Yeah.
That is weird.
See, that's the thing. I like the way they play up. It's weird, the football club. But as soon as you rib them for any kind of homosexual activity, they're like,
they were one of those crowds where you do your routine and they'd like that, but they preferred being picked on.
Yeah.
It's just like there were these two brothers down the front, Bill and Ben.
Absurd, isn't it?
And they're both teachers at the same school.
Because he was a PE teacher.
He's a PE teacher.
And aren't they the worst ones?
Yep.
Normally?
Yeah, normally. But look, he said he's at a primary school, so nothing happened. So that's good. So, you know.
I don't believe it for a second. That T-shirt he was wearing, he was wearing a Batman T-shirt, which was one size too small, if you ask me.
Yes.
You know, so which body did he take that off? I'm questioning.
Anyway, we survived it, guys. So well done to all of us. Well done. So Tolkien, how long have you been doing comedy?
12 years.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Really good at the moment. Just finishing negotiations with Foxtel for a TV series. No, it's good.
I know.
But you know, the thing with like working with those big organisations, that they're a lot more tactical than you'd imagine. I was like, I've got this little sitcom thing. It's called Dave. And they were like, yeah, we like the idea of it and all that. And then they were still in negotiations. They want a rewrite and another rewrite.
Sure,
so who knows
enough.
How it's going
to
go.
It can go either way. I'm trying to think of when I first met you. I wonder if I met your brother before I met you.
I think you may have.
I met your brother, Chris, whose kids go to the same school as my kids.
Yeah.
Geelong Grammar.
Yes.
And they're boarding. We never see them. No, it's just a local primary school.
Oh, and, yeah. It's a pretty cool primary school, though.
It's a good primary school. And anyway, it's... your brother came up to me when I was doing... I thought about this the other night.
Yep.
My show, House Proud, which is about... And I only had one kid at that stage. And I think he was about two or three. So that was... He's 14 now. So that was 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And Tolkien's just opening another can. They looked after you at the Newbury Footy Club.
They did. They really loved me.
You got some Jim Beam?
Yeah, a little Jim Beam, yeah.
And what have you got in the bag? Kappa?
Oh, I got a bloody Johnny Walker and Coke.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you got, Dave?
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, well, there you go.
They're calling these country black rats. Welcome back, a black rat.
Okay. They didn't even have Diet Coke. You think about footy clubs, they don't have Diet Coke anymore. They have Coke Zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Coke Zero.
Do you like Coke Zero?
No, I don't like
Coke
Zero.
But you like Diet Coke, don't
you? Diet Coke.
Do you know what? A friend of mine who is also overweight is massively in love with Diet Coke.
Yeah.
It becomes addictive, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
How many would you have a day?
Oh, two, at least.
Two, what, 600 mils or?
Yeah, sometimes.
And still live a full and rich life.
Yeah, well, what do you think? It's going to kill you, Diet Coke? Probably.
Probably.
Possibly.
But see, the thing is, you're addicted to it. That's the
I am addicted to it.
That's the
but you know, as Paris Hilton said, only fat people drink Diet Coke. And it's true.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, before I used to drink normal Coke. You know who put me on the Diet Coke? Hughesy.
Right.
I blame him.
Because he's fat, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's not fat at all. He used to be a bit chubby, but he goes, nah, switch to Diet Coke. It's a lot better. It's a lot better. But I reckon I got fatter.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have anything to do with the lack of exercise or any singular activity apart from Diet Coke would have been the answer?
All the shit that I eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think you suck yourself into thinking, oh, I'm drinking Diet Coke. I'll have some more
chips. Yeah, I can have another... I can have
pie.
another pie, yeah.
Another sausage roll.
No, well,
so
you know
I met
what?
Your brother at my show House Parade in 2000 and something.
Yeah.
One, maybe.
And he said... My
2004.
Brother.
And he came... He was talking to me... He came to the side of the stage with his lovely wife...
Danielle.
And he said... Because I talked about my dad in the Air Force and I showed all these photos. Of course, your brother.
Okay, yeah. He piked up because he's like,
Air
Force.
He was in the Air Force, your
at
brother.
The time, yes, he was. Yeah.
And he said, oh, that's... he just said, where was your dad based? And what? And I went, he was based in, he was in Vietnam at Vung Tau, then we were in Canberra and Point Cook. And he goes, oh, yeah, I work at Point Cook. And he goes, yeah, my brother's a comedian.
Right, yeah. And you've heard that a million times before, haven't you? But yeah, what's his name? David Tobb. Never heard of him.
No, I knew you, though. Dave Tobb. I said, you're Dave Tobb's brother?
Mm-hmm.
No. Because to paint a picture...
I'm fat.
You're as fat as me.
Yeah.
And your brother is skinny.
Yeah.
He's a pilot.
Yeah.
Quite good looking. He's got the...
Listen. You know what? You know...
Well, you've met my skinny brother, haven't you?
I have, indeed. The guy from Switzerland.
Yeah. I've got a very similar situation.
Yeah, he's all very good. Hello, everyone. I'm beautiful.
Yeah, he speaks like that. Yes,
I'm so
like
beautiful.
That.
I am an O'Neill, and I am beautiful.
I speak like that. Yeah. So, yeah, so...
But that's no... But I think it's a good idea if you're a pilot to be thin.
It is a good idea.
Because you know what? You don't need a helper belt on your fucking parachute, mate, alright? That's not a good idea.
You don't get the extra belt, do you? Nah, you're not that
fat. Have you been in a parachute?
No, have you?
Yeah. They don't fit fat people.
Oh, no, you can't be over 100 kilos to jump, I think.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because you go down like a fucking meteor.
Yeah, I know what my brother did.
Just
it.
Just go into the dirt.
My older brother did it, who's big too, and he goes, all this bullshit about flying is just like you're dropping, you're not flying. Dropping.
Yeah, well, that's the physics of it.
So where did you jump out of a plane?
No, I've never have.
But you put on a parachute.
Yes, because I was... No, and I'll tell you why. Because I was in the...
that great audience capper in the back.
I only committed halfway. I'm not doing this. It's like, that's a long way down.
My brother did a tandem.
Nah.
You know what? When someone inquired about me going on, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Yeah. Why didn't you go?
Oh no, because I didn't want to. Well, I just think those shows are a bit dangerous, and I've broken my leg in a radio stunt. So.
Yeah, in the pursuit of money.
Yeah. I've done stupid. When I get on stage or like in front of people on radio, I do stupid shit. I cracked my vertebrae in my back. I fell off stage fucking about.
Yeah. Oh, how did
I was just being stupid, and I ran off stage. I used to do this bit where I'd play the Chemical Brothers or something and pretend to dance to it. I can't remember why.
And you don't do that bit anymore?
I don't do that bit. I can't even remember that bit. I've got to bring the Chemical Brothers back. Out of control.
Well, they're so popular,
yeah.
The reason you didn't do Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, was that because...
Because I didn't want to... My son was starting high school and...
You didn't want to get your shirt off on television.
I didn't want to do that.
And you would have had to do that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you would have had to be half nude. In a pit full of scorpions or something, crying.
They don't worry me. It's the jumping out of things and stuff. And so, my manager goes, "Oh no, it's not a dangerous show." Then I turn it on, and they're parachuting in a third world country in Africa.
Yeah, and you've never landed well in any of your stunts,
man, I could easily just break my leg doing that easily. And then the next year I watch it, they're like doing that on the rope thing where you sort of slide in.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon it's just Chrissy Swanwyn, who I used to do radio with, and she said you do lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But you are stuck in like an enclosed area.
You lose a lot of dignity as well, yeah. And a lot of weight. I was speaking to Akmal about it. He said Akmal
didn't seem to enjoy it at all.
No, he hated it. The only reason he said he did it was because they offered him too much money and he couldn't say no.
Yeah.
So like take a lot of cash, Akmal, and we'll put some fucking spiders up your nose. He's like, all right,
Akmal's got no children. I've got three kids, so I would feel bad leaving them to go to Africa, but some people don't care. I don't know. Anyway.
What do you mean? How would you feel? What do you mean by feel bad taking them to Africa?
No, but
why?
Because you're away from them for a long time. Well, okay.
They can see you on telly.
Hey, it's daddy time. It's 7 o'clock, guys.
Daddy's going to cry again. It's going to be amazing.
My dad was in Vietnam for a year. But I don't remember it. I was 4 or 5.
Well, you weren't there?
I were there. No, so I can't talk
about
it.
No, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't there.
Don't remember.
As my dad said, that's my excuse. What's yours?
Your dad went to Vietnam for a year. Then he went to the war.
Yeah, then he went for a... Bloody that cat. Now, when he got an encore.
Oh. He was amazing.
You were a very good capper. Unbelievable.
An amazing thing. Thank God they were warmed up beautifully, that's all.
On the spoon, I got to share the money with you guys.
Jesus, well, you know. Split 4 grand 3 ways. Right? I reckon that's a fair deal.
I don't think it's 4 grand.
Okay, you don't get
it. I don't think it's 4 grand at all. Anyway, look,
it was a massive body manager.
Well, there must be 20s. So it's not 4 grand. I can tell you now. Halve it and then some more. Interesting. So I can't remember where I met. I always like to remember where I met comics, but I
don't remember much about anything. So I forgot I was going there today, if you remember. When you rang me.
I rang you today and said we're going.
Are you ready for the gig? I was like, what gig?
What?
You know, the one we talked about?
I did not send you any information.
No, you didn't send me any information and therefore I have no reasonable reason to actually remember it.
I know, and that's my mistake.
No, it's not really. It's my mistake for not having a memory. And
Badly organised.
Yeah, look at that
scale. So what... Why did you get into comedy? What were you doing before that? Because how old were you when you got into comedy?
I was, I'm 38. 38.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. So then you've had a life before it.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But not really. I did a little bit of acting. I was in Neighbours a couple of times. I don't know if you remember me.
Yeah, you weren't.
I was.
What did you do in Neighbours?
I was a stalker and a drug dealer.
The same character? Or?
Yeah, no, for two different characters, and I didn't have to audition for either of them. I just turned up, and they were like, yeah, cool. Can you run away? I'm like, can I? So I ran away out of both scenes. I was only in two scenes, though, to be honest. I wasn't a full-blown character. But,
sure.
Well, you know, I was, look.
Did you train anywhere to be an actor, or you just did it?
I went to Richard Cyril's acting school. And
who's Richard Cyril?
Doesn't even matter, Dave. He's a if you know anything about the acting community,
you'd know Richard
you'd
Cyril.
Know what you know what? You know, I'm not sure that's his last name, to be honest, but you would know him, right? And he taught me how to act for film and television. And then I went and did a few auditions for film and television, and they liked me enough on Neighbours to put me on. But previous to that, or was it after that? think it was after that. After that, I spent nearly 2 years working with Opera Australia as a performer.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
You and Jim Jeffries studied opera.
Did he study opera?
Jim Jeffries studied opera at Whopper. Really? Didn't he, Capper?
I didn't study opera, but I certainly...
Well,
I was.
What did you do for Opera Australia?
I was an actor, yeah? So... When you go and see a big...
Man, I am learning stuff about... So you were like the equivalent of being in the chorus, were you?
Well, no, not that good even, to be honest. Just in the opera, so I would... So, look, I'll tell you a thing, right? Now we both know. If you're a performer and you're overweight, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not easy to move around. At that particular juncture in my life, I wasn't overweight. So what I would be... So you'd be performing La Boheme or whatever, you know, the singing the sad song, and I'd be running around the background to give the stage some movement, okay?
Oh,
so they're just like... looking at some fat prick just singing a song. I'm like, this is boring. And I'm around cleaning up glasses, what I was doing. So I was an actor, or extra, if you like, in film and television. However, let me just want to point this out to you, that I had my own dressing room. I had my own dresser, right? So I had a guy every night who would come down to my dressing room and dress me in my costume. And
this is like live opera?
At the Sydney Opera House.
What?
Playing at the Sydney Opera
House. Which has a great canteen.
It does, with the green room down there, yeah.
Awesome.
So, in the green room, that was amazing.
Been
so,
once, yeah.
We're sitting, well, I worked there for 2 years, Dave, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Is that where you got fat?
Well, yeah, because it's a great, it is a great green room. And so they'd call my name on the tannoy, and then I would just swan onto stage and do my bit as directed by, you know, some of the great strikes. Neil.
Neil Armfield.
Yeah, he directed me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who's the other big guy in opera? He ran the Adelaide Festival.
Richard Bonney, he directed
Richard
me as
Bonney.
Well.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So he's Dame Joan Sutherland's husband.
And wow, and so how long were you on stage for at any given time?
Well, probably during most of the shows, for the entirety of the show, as different characters. And so in Carmen, in Carmen, for example, Carmen would come down the stairs singing the famous aria about you know, how she's going to take over the world because she's a woman and she's free and she's powerful. And I was standing dressed as a French soldier, and I'd offer Carmen a rose every night, and she would slap me, and I would fall to the ground.
Wow, slapstick.
Yeah, I would fall. I did a lot of slapstick in the show. In fact, I nearly killed a tenor at one point.
How?
Well, we were doing a scene, and Pagliacci, you know, the crying clown, Pagliacci.
I don't know anything about opera, but I know the names.
You know, you've seen in The Godfather?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they got the crying clown, and you've got, you know... Pagliacci. Anyway, look it up on YouTube, you want to do. So we had to come out, and we had the tenor that was singing that song on top of a big ladder, which was doubling and had wheels on it, and we would spin it around in sort of a dancing kind of motion, right? So I was paid to be a dancer as well. Anyway, so we came out, and what would happen is we'd have to spin this thing. It weighed nearly 700 kilos, this ladder.
Yeah.
But it was so well balanced that it would just pivot on all its wheels. And we had a tenor on top of it. As we come out, we would push it out and we would spin it around, and he would sing the aria, and we'd spin it around again and he would sing the aria. But on the stage at the same time was another fake stage, right? Which was the stage for the performance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
So we came out this particular night and we spun the tenor around on it. And as we hit it, I was holding onto the two rails of the ladder, and I'm perpendicular to the ladder because we're flying, we're doing heaps of speed. And the whole thing, apart from one wheel, went over the pit.
Oh, gee.
Right? Went over the pit.
One wheel
stayed on. Because of the centrifugal force, it spun back on the stage, right?
Oh,
that was the only thing that saved us. So we get off the stage, and the director's on. She's like, what the fuck was that about, right? You are in so much trouble because you've missed all your marks and all your cues. And we're like, no, we didn't miss a mark and we didn't miss a cue. We didn't miss anything. We got it all right. So they were fucking... We were about to be fired from the opera for nearly killing... Because imagine that, like... A 700 kilo ladder falls into the orchestra pit at the Sydney Opera House.
Oh.
That's on the news, isn't it?
That's newsworthy.
That's make the news, yeah. So, turns out, because what happens, I don't know if you know much about the Opera House, but all the guys that work up in the rigging stations are all potheads. All of them are massive potheads.
Well, no, I didn't know this.
Yeah, but they are. Right? So they're all at the back of the Opera House, smoking pot, just... reeks of pot. So you know when you go from the green room, you go downstairs and you go out the back door.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
They're all there smoking pot. So what they'd done is they'd set up the scene. They'd set the whole stage up, but they'd move the stage performance area 1 foot forward. So we were following the cues of the stage, but the stage is 1 foot forward. So anyway, no one got fired.
Man, so that's a very bizarre job. And so why did you leave? I mean, did it get boring after a while? Or?
Well, no, it was a lot of fun because it was incredibly good money.
Did you meet any girls?
Yeah, heaps of girls there. Yeah, heaps of girls.
Interesting.
But, you know, it's incredibly good money. But the thing was, I think, as far as a lesson goes in how the real world of performance works, is, you know, like people with money that can actually put on a real show, you know, you've got a green room, you've been in it, the real green room.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
It was amazing, but no, Richard Sinclair was one of the English directors who was directing one of the shows, come to me one day after about at the end of the run and said, mate, you're amazing, you should go do something for yourself. And I was like,
good compliment.
What should that be? Well, is it? That's the question, you see. Maybe it was like, you go do something yourself, just off you go.
All right. It's a good way to fire someone, isn't it?
You're amazing. You're just amazing. Do something yourself.
We've got no more room for you at Red Rooster. Yeah. You should go do something yourself.
Well, yeah. So I said, well, thank you very much. I was very impressed. It was a compliment. And I said, all right, cool. So what will I do? So then I wandered off and found my way to comedy somehow or other. Because I always loved comedy, you know.
Yeah, right.
Big fan of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I loved you when you were... I never saw anything you did, to be honest, Dave. Never saw a fucking thing you've ever done. People were like, you know him, are like, what? No, who the fuck's that guy? That's Dave O'Neill from television.
Television, yeah, right.
Because I worked all day, I worked at night, Dave, I never saw TV, so...
Oh, yeah, okay.
I never saw you.
It would have been interesting for you to come into this industry then. I mean, is there anything you can take from your experience in the opera world and bring it into comedy?
Yeah, make the show a good show.
Yeah.
Like, make a really good show of it, because I think that's what people expect from you. They want that. So they don't want it, you know, they don't want a half-assed attempt. They want it. If you're going to stand up on stage and pretend to entertain them, then do it properly, or don't worry about it, don't bother. You know, and that's what the opera shows you. Like, every production of the opera cost $1 million to produce.
Wow.
Right, that's why the tickets are so fucking expensive.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But, you know, and the people... And of course, it's all a fantasy and all a complete absurd thing that we're doing in reality, if you think about it objectively.
It is absurd that us three would go to the Newborough Football Club with no musical instruments or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And just get up there and entertain them for a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah.
With your words.
Yeah, but with you, you know, it's you that they attach themselves to. It's you that they enjoy, and that's interesting. I was thinking about it, you know, as Nick was killing, I'm like, fuck that guy. How come he's done so well? And I've worked really hard. But anyway,
yeah, but you had to go on first.
He's got better jokes. That's the thing. No, they are, Nick. This is on the record now. You've got heaps better jokes.
No, come on.
No, it's great though. You know what I mean? It's great though. I went in there. You know, like I was the canary into the fields. You know.
Yeah, you were in the coal mine.
I was the Flanders into the field. You know, like run over there and see if the Germans have left any mines. Blam! Oh, they have.
There was a good time had by all.
Yeah, and it was fun. But I think what's interesting about those football clubs is compared to, say, the audiences in the city who are allegedly comedy audiences. They're there to have a good time, and I think sometimes these guys are there to, the Melbourne audience is there to, you know, make sure you look like an idiot.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Well, the football club audiences are definitely there for a good time, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember Marc Maron had this great bit in one of his shows.
Yeah.
Where it was about, comedy was about, you go out, entertain, have some fun or whatever, or it was a preamble to drinking.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, people in the big cities, because they work so hard, they're like, I've got a fucking house to pay off, the kids are at my back, this comedy thing better fucking work.
Oh, yeah.
This better work.
Yeah, better be good.
Better be good. Otherwise, I've wasted my money on nothing and my life's not good.
But see, the thing is, here's the thing tonight, when I arrived there tonight and I met Frances, who is the cook. She's not a chef. She's a cook. And she told me that she was the funniest person in the footy club, right? She said, I'm pretty witty and funny. I'm like, that's brilliant. So if this is what I'm up against, and not saying because she was very funny. She really was very funny. She said to me, she went, I went down to the beauty salon the other day because they gave her a free pass, you know, to get some work done.
Sure.
And she went down there and she said, I was there for 3 hours. just getting a quote.
Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. Also, thanks to CoinJar. Set up a CoinJar account to buy and sell Bitcoin. It's really, really easy. No, trust me, it is. Just go to nearly.com.au/thedebrief to get a bonus when you set up your account. And Homie, they're a Melbourne-based social enterprise creating pathways out of homelessness. Do you know at the moment there's about 100,000 Australians live without a permanent address, and of those, 20,000 people sleep on the streets or in a makeshift shelter. Why not change this? Come on. Go to www.homie.com.au. Okay, back to the program. We're back on The Debrief with Dave O'Neill here, driving Dave Tolk home.
Thank you.
Kappa's in the back.
Yay.
Nick Kappa, he's already been on The Debrief. He's in the back. He's just getting...
Did you get to drop me off last time, did you?
he's been in here ever since Bendigo, and he's freaking out my kids. Is that man still living in the car, Dad?
Yeah,
leave Kappa alone.
Comedy's going good.
Comedy's going good,
yeah. Sleeping in Dave O'Neill's car.
It's going well. We've just done the
Newbury
Footy Club, and we just discovered that Dave Tolk used to work in the opera, which is extraordinary.
Yes.
I would have thought you would have said a storeroom or something like that. So what were you saying about... Oh, yeah, so you were talking about what you learned from the opera that you could bring to comedy.
Well, I learned, first of all, about performance and how that can be measured by an audience.
Yeah.
You know? So if people are paying a lot of money to go and see something, then they have an expectation of the quality of what
sure.
it's going to be. And within the opera world, obviously, I wasn't singing or doing anything particularly challenging.
Yeah.
So, but the people that were doing those jobs were giving a great amount of energy and love, and people would just dig it. But what I learned was that you add a great performance, you add some music, and then, you know, and I think that's true of comedy. I think comedy is musical. I think there's a certain element of poetry that comedy relies on.
Yeah, right.
In order for it to... Well, you know, if you think about it, when you're telling a joke or whatever, so you go blah, 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 you throw it out, and then once you get the laugh back, then that's the next...
Yeah,
strike the next bow. That's the rhythm. That's the rhythm and timing, you know. But I think it's very... I think it's very, very musical. I think it's very similar, you know, because you can strike an emotion with any kind of music. People feel that, and the same can be done with comedy. So, you know, when Nick was talking about sucking a cock earlier on...
God.
No, but you know when he was, but for a moment they went,
reaction.
But once they accepted what he was saying, it struck a chord with them. So there we go. We got the back and forth, and now Nick's fighting for his life, and he did it beautifully. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great, Nico. Really.
One thing that deep because comedy's hard.
You know, comedy's hard.
Yeah.
It is difficult, but then this guy did this brilliant sketch I saw it on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Where he just gets up in front of an audience and talks in the rhythm of a comedian. But
yeah. Oh, really?
And then the audience laughs like. And I was like, oh, no. He's so shit.
But there you go.
It's the
music of it, isn't it? It's the music of comedy. It's what it is. And the ones that do well are the ones that. Get to drive you home late at night from shit
is that
pubs.
Me?
Yeah. Well, right. you've had a pretty good life out of comedy, haven't you?
Yes.
And even though you're not even that funny, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
But you know what you are. You're affable, aren't you?
I'm affable. Nice I'm likable.
Yeah,
people
that's
me.
That's what they like. That's what they want.
That's what they want. It's just, it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a tough life being a comedian, but I always say it's a good lifestyle. If you can do it, it's a good lifestyle.
If you can pull it off, I would definitely agree. Once I've done that, I'll give you a call.
So how many gigs do you do a week?
Probably three or four. Or
yeah, whatever. Right. but you also you do host a lot of open mics at nights, do you?
Yeah, I don't host a lot of stuff. I'm trying to not do that anymore.
You're a good host, though.
Yeah, but it's a bit disjointing if you want to try your comedy out.
Okay, right.
You know, you got to keep the room alive, and if you try new jokes out, and mostly when I write a new joke, it's fucking terrible. But you know how it improves?
Doing gigs?
Yeah, no, because I'll go and do it in a room, and then, like, you're there, or Wayne Deacon, or fucking Dave Hughes, and they go, you know how that all work? And they tell you, and they write that down, and then you go back and smash it next time, so... It's a pretty good deal. So I just turn up with a premise, and I hope someone really is good there, and I finish it off with me. I'm like, yeah, you can have that too. I'm like, thank you very much. I'm gonna.
Yeah,
and then, you know, the next week they're like, yeah, how good is Tolkien? He's just got so much better.
It is good.
After
to get
he toured
tips.
With Dave O'Neill.
He's doing that cock sucking bit about 69. It's awesome.
He doesn't even know he's in the army.
the thing I like about you, Tolkien.
Here we go. The thing you like about Tolkien, yeah.
The thing I love about you, man, is you're such a bloody lovable, nice guy to hang out with.
Yeah.
So you're a bit like me. You're not funny, but you're lovable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys, like, not a lot, but, you know, there's a few that have been doing it for a while, and they're just bitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're
bitter.
And it's understandable.
Oh, of course.
I mean? Like, it's so easy to get bitter.
Yeah.
Everyone's always got a soft spot for Tolkien.
Tolkien,
mate. Is that they treat me like the special needs guy, or?
Yeah,
the mascot.
Weird.
The mascot. Like,
get that weird old guy, take him under your wing.
That old man, I'm not that old, okay? 50 years old, I'm not older than this idiot beside
me. I'm 52, that's right, I'm older than you.
But the thing what I worked out about comedy is if you don't have an end goal or any kind of goal, you'll win capper.
Yeah.
You know, like, if Dave O'Neill rings up and goes, you want to go and do a gig in Newbury, you're like, Newbra, you're like, well, of course.
Of course.
You know, I'm not filming my TV show, so I'll be down.
Happening soon.
I can do it. Yeah, I've got time.
Now, I've got some questions as part of the debrief, right?
Yes, mate, yep.
Well, so what went well and why?
What went well tonight?
Yeah.
I think when I engaged with them about their atrocious day at football.
Oh, yeah, they lost.
They lost. So I found out who
Trafalgar.
The coach was.
Oh, the coach, yeah.
I found out who the coach was and blamed him for most of the world's problems.
What didn't go well and why?
What didn't go well and why?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, if I'll be really frankly honest with you, I think when I said I would kill a baby, that kind of...
They didn't like that.
Well, they liked the end of it, but in the middle part, they were like, oh, how's this going to end? What's happened here?
Yeah.
Why is this person we don't know telling us he's going to murder a child?
Country crowds...
Why are you driving in the middle of the road?
I do this. This is my driving style.
That's not cool.
Isn't it? But we're not on a two-lane highway. We're on a four-lane highway.
We're on a two-lane highway, and you're in the middle of it.
No.
You are that arsehole. I didn't realise that was you.
That's me. There's no one else around.
Well, that makes it right then, doesn't it? Do you say that in front of schools as well?
Mate, do you speak to the tenors like this? Was there a hierarchy in the? Were you allowed to talk to the main dudes? You know, sometimes
that was lovely. They were really cool.
Yeah,
so I got to know there's an amazing baritone called Teddy Tahu Rhodes.
Oh, he's famous.
He's
I've heard
very
of him.
Famous. Yeah,
we've heard of him.
He had an affair with Liz McCune.
Yeah, he's a beautiful looking man. He's got an amazing baritone voice, and he is a sweet, sweet man. He's a lovely human, and I spent a lot of time with him working.
Yeah,
he played in Carmen. He played the soldier. You know,
yeah,
the Toreador.
Yeah, sure.
She's still in the middle of the road. I don't care.
I'm in the middle of the road. Were there any organisational things that got in the way
of
tonight?
What? Tonight?
Yeah.
No. Look, it's that kind of thing when you turn up at those kind of gigs. And of course, nobody knows what you're supposed to do, and they think you're a bit special. Little do they know that you're not at all. And they go, "Oh, you're the act." That's the thing. That's always gets me. Because I turn up to these football gigs, right, unannounced, and I go, hi, and they go, you're the comedian, aren't you?
Oh, they know straight away.
Well, obviously, because I'm fat. I don't look like I fit in a football
gig. Oh, I turn up to a gig in Mansfield and with Brad Oakes, and the guy goes, all right, you're the blokes delivering the beer? Yeah. Like, no, mate, we're the comedians.
Yeah, oh, no. If you could drop the beer off and get some real ones, we'd be very happy with that.
Well, have you got the beer?
Yeah.
Okay, so how can we do better next time?
with the gig.
Yeah.
I think get more people to that. They should do some more.
They should get some more people.
I think everyone did extremely well tonight.
We all did well.
And I think that what happened was I heard three or four people say that they had a sore jaw from laughing.
Well, apparently the seconds, the reserves were down at the local pub drinking, and they should have been.
Yeah, well, somebody else is 21st tonight as well.
Yeah, that can country gigs can make a difference.
We were competing with that, but it look, they were lovely, and nobody was nobody got hurt very much.
They were awesome.
That was a great gig. I really enjoyed it.
Table of ladies
kept giving us cheese.
And they were giving Tolkien and I cheese and crackers.
Oh, don't you love that?
Kind of like your mum just.
Yeah, but one of them was like, one of them kept gesturing me to come to the car. I'm like, I'm not going to the car. It's not happening.
Relive those awkward days.
I have a lot of calcium. My hip is not going to break.
Yes.
I'm still not coming over the car.
Not coming to the car. We can play a song. What song? Are you a John Grant fan? Is it right?
Yes, I love John Grant.
You love John Grant?
Yes. Have you got John Grant here?
No, we can put it on though. What, I saw him once, you know.
What did you really?
Yeah, he played with a, because I first heard him on 3RRR, the Melbourne Public Radio Station.
Yeah.
And I love him. I reckon he's great. He's got a great voice.
I know he has, and it's got a beautiful elegance to it. My John Grant song that I like the most is I Am the Greatest Motherfucker.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that's truly...
How's it go again?
The greatest motherfucker that you're ever going to meet.
Yes.
From the top of my head to the tips of my feet.
He's got some great songs because I've got that first album of his where I Want to Go to Mars.
Yes.
I Want to Go to Mars. He's got an amazing voice,
That's the interesting thing, because we're talking about comedy. This is the thing, the connection between the voice and the human. You go, I like him. Well, I don't know why, but I do. But
yeah.
The John Grant song that I like is The Greatest Motherfucker. Mostly because I sort of use it as my own theme song. I'm the greatest motherfucker you're ever going to meet.
Well, you got to pump yourself up.
Look, I've already done that, Dave. You can tell by the how I can barely get the seatbelt on. So. I need a helper belt.
How did you get onto John Grant? Because it is relatively not obscure, but definitely alternative.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, because I've got Spotify, which was a revelation to me, because I've always been a love music. Like I sit for hours when Rage is on and just listen to the music,
watch
the music and enjoy the music. Then having this Spotify thing, and it does a thing called Discover Weekly, right? And that came on, that song came on, I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So then I did a sort of back catalogue and like, this is extraordinary. Because, you know, you can't have heard everything. And, you know, because I was in the opera world, and you have to listen to a lot of opera when you do that.
Yeah, he could almost be an opera singer, couldn't he, John Grant?
That's the interesting about opera singers. If you have a listen to them, they are actually operating as another instrument.
Yeah, right.
So their pitch and their tone and their note has to be bang on, otherwise, no good. We were setting up for an opera, Tosca. And
good chocolate bar.
Yeah, it's a great chocolate bar. Tosca and
or ice cream, something like that.
There and the baritone, the tenor in that show is executing the lead character, and instead of executing, he gets executed or something anyway. You know, it's always tragedy in opera. And so this guy was rehearsing with us the night before opening, and he broke. His voice broke. He missed the note. And he broke.
Oh my god!
And
does that happen often?
No.
No.
And the next day, we had a new tenor.
Really?
We had a new tenor.
But he's a grown person and his voice broke.
No, but he broke the note. It's like he couldn't sing the note. He broke.
Is it because he's getting older, or
because he wasn't rehearsing enough? Because he wasn't practicing enough.
And okay.
So they were like, you know what? We can't have this when people
see
pay $400 to see this show. Not happening.
Out the door.
Out the door he went.
Who broke tonight?
I think that was
me. Kappa. They would have adopted him down there.
Yeah, he would have. He could have been the mayor.
Oh, man.
That's the first thing people ask me when they hear my voice. They go, you're a singer, right?
Yeah, yeah. I want to be the mayor.
Wow.
Tone.
Well, let's play some John Grant. I love John Grant.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw him and he played keyboard and another guy played keyboard.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great.
Double keyboard, actually.
Double keyboard, which I've never seen
That's
before.
That's pretty extraordinary.
But pretty cool.
What did you play in your band?
Bass,
yeah.
Yeah.
And not the keyboard, because I've seen you use a keyboard.
Yeah, I'm not very good on the keyboard. I'm not that good on the bass either anymore. You lose the touch, man.
Well, you don't. But see, the thing is, it doesn't matter to you, Dave. What, you'd rather be a bass player in a shitty band or Dave O'Neill? What is it going to be, man?
Yeah. No, I'd rather
probably
be
a bass player in a shitty band.
Well, thanks for listening to The Debrief. Thanks for being on it, Tolkien.
Thank you.
Dave Tolk, and you can follow him on Twitter.
Yep.
Tolkien Babble.
Yeah.
And he's still doing those funny...
The little videos with Gabe Hogan, yes we are.
On Facebook, what are they called again?
Some people are just arseholes.
And I'm in one of them.
You are. Yeah. And it was really good. That was it. Actually, you know what? Yeah. I think leveraging off your celebrity, we got the most hits we've ever had.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised.
Well, you know...
It can happen. So how do you find them? There they are. Basically, they're just you and Gabe Hogan in a car. She's a funny female comic. And you just drive around and they're sort of little sketches, aren't they?
They're little vignettes, I think I like to call them. Little vignettes. Because, you know, they're not necessarily that funny. And that's nothing to do with the writing. I've done that quite deliberately.
Yeah.
Yeah, to encourage people into our minds rather than just to...
Sure.
Why would you give them a laugh, Dave?
Yeah, when you can make them cry.
Exactly.
You're back in the opera. So they're on Facebook under...
Some people are just arseholes.
Some people are just arseholes. Yeah, have a look. They're great.
Thank you.
And Kappa Flapper at Twitter. Yeah. Good work, Kappa.
And is it the real Donald Trump as well?
Real Donald Trump, yeah, that's him.
No, because do you get his tweets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. That's the only tweet I get.
Oh, really?
Is, yeah, and the only reason is because that shows me that I'm not the biggest arsehole on the planet, you know, so
man.
I'm very happy with that.
I'm on Microsoft Word as well.
Are you on Microsoft Word?
What's that?
Send him a doc, man. All right, well, you've been listening to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill's Don't We in the Car. There's a bloke living in it.